Morgan Wallen. Know that name? Pretty popular guy right now in pop culture. Morgan Wallen has written a song entitled, I Wrote the Book. I Wrote the Book. And it goes a little something like this. When it comes to hitching the boat up, backing down the ramp in my old truck, to find a bunch of logs, to catch a bunch of hogs, yeah, I wrote the book. I wrote the book. If you want to learn to throw a curve right, to catch a cleanup looking on a third strike, talk a little smack while you're walking back. Yeah, I wrote the book. That's dad life, isn't it? Dads, are we jacks of all trades? Written the book on everything, man. Consider this. Master plumbers, right? Dads, are we master plumbers? Nobody can plunge a toilet better than dad. Right? What about getting hair out of a shower drain? Have you had that blessing? Come on now, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. Got to clean the drain out, right? You know, dads, we are master plumbers, right? I had that great experience recently, right? Getting the hair out of the shower drain. We are master carpenters, right? Or so we think. We know how to cut wood and build stuff and build a deck. It may be a little wompy, right? That's a good redneck term, by the way, a little wompy. But you know what? We know how to build that thing. We are the best at taking out the trash. Come on, dads, right? Now, the sons, they should do that. But for some reason, my sons want to pile the trash up to where it's flowing all the way out of the top of the trash can. But I digress, right? Dads, we're the best at mowing and weed eating, right? We are artists with a weed eater, right? And we're proud of it, right? I mean, that's dads. We've written the book on all kinds of stuff. We are the only bank that's open 24/7. The only bank open 24/7. Dad, can I have some gas money? Dad, can I have some money to go out with my friends? Well, yeah, I guess so, right? I guess so. We are champions of homework. Where's my homework champions at? Come on, dads, right? Or so we try to think we are, right? We are car maintenance kings, aren't we? You know, the rotating of the tires and changing the oil, we make sure all that stuff is done. We might not actually do it with our own hands. Maybe some of you do, but we at least want to make sure that everything is done properly and the cars are maintained correctly. There's a whole lot of stuff in life that we've written the book on. But what about the book of faith? It's interesting in that same song by Morgan Wallen, he goes on to talk about the book that he hadn't written. And specifically, he's talking about the Bible, and he goes on to say, those get you into heaven letters in red ain't getting red enough to keep me on a straight line. I'm a jack of all trades, but man, I gotta say, there's one book. That is one book I didn't write. You know, that really does sum up the thought process of a whole lot of men when it comes to the Word of God, to faith, and to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, we are experts on everything in the world. Some men are experts on everything in the world. Seems like maybe more or most men possibly experts on everything except the Word of God and Jesus, faith, worshiping and serving God. Following Jesus has become such a feminine thing in the American church. In fact, we almost apologize for making it masculine in any kind of way, for bringing any masculinity to it. How many of you know that the strongest man to ever walk the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on now. And he humbled himself and he gave his life for us. And the Bible says that's the way men in the room, husbands in the room today, that's the way we're to love our wives and our children as well. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for us. Let me ask you a question. What about the book of faith? Men in the room today, you may be an expert on a whole lot of different stuff. We may be experts on all these different things. What about faith? And by the way, how much more important is following Jesus. So in this passage, Jesus talks to us about how to build our house on the rock. That's the only house that won't collapse. Why do you need this message today? Because Jesus says in this passage, without following these principles, if we're not following Jesus, the house, this is important, the house will, think about this, will collapse. Collapse, utter ruin eternally. It may not seem that way in the present. It may not feel that way. There may be this false sense of peace or of comfort in as we try to find our identity in the stuff of this world. But ultimately, eternally, a home and a life and a home not built on the rock of Jesus will not stand when the judgment of God comes. And judgment is coming, isn't it, to this earth? So what about you? Have you built your house on the rock? Jesus tells us how to do that in this passage today. Let's read together. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse number 24. Jesus says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, talking about the entire Sermon on the Mount that we've just walked through, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded. Life pounds on you, doesn't it? Life beats against a marriage and a family and a life. It's not easy. He says the storms come and they pounded that house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Listen, men. He's contrasting here the wise man and the foolish man. Listen closely. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on it, doesn't stand as a witness for Christ, doesn't build their home on the gospel of Jesus, the word of God, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. It collapsed with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. Have you built your house on the rock of Jesus? Are we building our house on the rock? In this passage, Jesus tells us specifically how to do that. All right, how do you build your house on the rock? Jesus says, first of all, to build our house on the rock, we must do what God says. Do what God says. It's not enough just to hear a sermon or come to church or to know a little bit of facts about the Bible. He says, do what I'm teaching you. He who hears these words of mine and does them is the one who builds his house on the rock, whose house will stand. And so obedience. In his final challenge, Jesus makes it clear here the criterion for a righteous life is obedience. It's obedience, not familiarity, not church attendance, not being a good person or even a religious person. It's obedience. That's the entire theme, actually, isn't it, of the Sermon on the Mount itself. He's summing it up. And God calls us, listen, to a kingdom way of living, not just a kingdom way of thinking, if you will. Okay? And so, in fact, I want to take issue with something in the church. We have dumbed salvation in Jesus and following Jesus, the Christian life, down to just believe, haven't we? In a lot of ways, we have dumbed it down to just believe. Now, are you grateful for John 3:16 today? What does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever what? believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We are justified by faith. Let me be clear today. We don't go to heaven because we take on some good works or try to be a better person. I'm not saying that. But friends, listen to me. When you believe, it affects how you behave, doesn't it? What we believe, truly believe, affects the way we behave. And that's what he's talking about here. Faith in Christ is taking on a kingdom way of life. It's not just this mental assent to the facts of who Jesus is. It's not just believing he was a historical figure or even just believing that he is and was the Son of God, that he died on a cross and rose from the dead. No, it takes submission of my life to him. And this, again, this is like we like to say here, we're not talking about perfection, we are talking about direction of life. And so a kingdom way of life is, even when I do still sin, I am quick to humble myself before God and confess that sin. It is a direction of life. It is consistent obedience unto him. That's what it means to know Jesus. When he says here, he who hears these words of mine, the emphasis is on mine. This is God's word, isn't it? Come on, church. The Bible is God's word. That's the emphasis here. Acts and doesn't act. Those two statements there are present active, in the present active tense in the original language. So in other words, it is that continuous action, right? For example, think of it this way. When we tell our kids something and they do it, that is their obligation. Come on, parents, right? But when our children begin to do, oh, come on, parents. Oh, this is a glorious day. When they start doing stuff that you don't have to tell them to do. Come on now. Is that a great day? When they actually, come on, children in the room. When they clean their room without being told. Is that awesome? That would be great. Notice I said would be, you know, great. If somebody would clean their room, right? Take the trash out. I talked about that earlier. Instead of piling it up for good old dad, it would be awesome if they would take the trash out without being told, right? What about putting gas in their vehicle? You ever got in your teenager's vehicle, your 16-year-old, you get in to take their vehicle somewhere and there's 5 miles to E in the vehicle? Like, hey, go get gas. I didn't have time, Dad. Well, you fixing to have time to be stuck on the side of the road, I guess, for the next hour or two or three, waiting on me to get there with a gas can, right? It's an amazing day when our children are mature enough, right, as they get older, to begin to do things without us having to tell them. It's the same kind of idea that Jesus is giving us here. What he's saying is that consistent obedience is now just this pattern of life. It's my desire to obey God. I trust him fully, and it is my passion of life to bring him glory in obeying what he says. James chapter 1, verse 22. What did James say? Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only. So do it. In order to do what God says, first of all, come on, church, you got to know what God says, don't you? So scripture intake. Listen, this is so important. Men in the room, challenging men today especially. It is essential that we be in the word of God on a consistent daily basis. And this is our spiritual meal. If you only eat one time a week, you're going to be pretty anemic and unhealthy, aren't you? The same is true in our walk with God. Thank God for the preaching of the word. We need this every week to come together to worship and to get the preaching of the word. But we apply the word and we obey God as we dig into it for ourselves day in and day out. And so in order to obey God, we got to know what God says. Remember, your inputs determine your outcomes. As dads, we want to control all the outcomes, don't we? We want to make sure that our families are taken care of, that there's plenty of money and there's food on the table. And those are good things that God put in us, by the way, to work and to provide and to protect and to care for and to be responsible. But our focus is so much on the outcomes that sometimes we don't focus on what needs to go in my heart and my mind, the inputs. And it's essential that we be in the word of God. But then secondly, not only must we know what God says, come on now, we've got to follow the instructions. Dads, we are the best at not following instructions, aren't we? Yeah. Have you put anything together lately and just ignored the instructions? Built anything? Maybe you got it Lowe's or Home Depot or something. We got a shelving unit, right? One of those shelving units you put together and put in your garage to hold stuff there, and got one of those shelving units not too long ago. And I said, look, man, I don't need the instructions. Come on now. Look, man, it's a shelving unit. I don't need this thing. And so, man, I need those instructions. So pitch them to the side, and I start putting this thing together and hooking this up and that up. Man, that thing is like the Leaning Tower of Pisa in my garage. Listen, all it takes is one little bump, and that whole thing comes crashing to the ground. Why? Because dumb old Pastor Derek didn't read the blooming instructions, right? We don't need directions. Come on, guys. Now, we live in the days of GPS. You got it easy. How many remember the days of getting out the map and mapping your route to go on a vacation or to go see family or something like that? You'd get the map out. I still remember my dad. He's an engineer. So, man, we had the map and the maps and the things and, you know, plan A and contingency, you know, plan B and plan C and all the stuff, right? And so we don't need directions, or so we think. The truth is, we need the instructions in order for things to go right. The same is true. Listen, men of God, is this our instruction manual? Come on now. It is. It's so much more than that. But it's nothing, or it's not less than that, right? This is our instruction manual. So if we're not in the Word of God on a daily basis, life's going to be real wobbly, real wompy. I mean, it's going to be on the edge of collapse consistently. We've got to be in the Word of God. This is our instruction manual. Life ain't going to go right until you get in this Word. And until we what? Apply it to life. We've got to do what God says. First and foremost, building our house means doing what God says. Secondly, Jesus says here, building our house on the rock means we must prepare for the storms. Storms of life. The imagery that Jesus is using here, he's talking about storms that would rise up. This is and was a common thing in the nation of Israel, where these storms would suddenly rise up. Typically, it's a very dry and arid climate. But from time to time, they would have big storms that would rise up, and they would have a lot of flash flooding. And you have these dry stream beds. They're called wadis, W-A-D-I-S, wadis in Israel. But these dry stream beds that all of a sudden would become raging rivers of water flowing down off of the hills and the mountains around. And the imagery he's using here is that the judgment of God, just like the days of Noah, is going to come suddenly. Judgment is coming. Every one of us is going to answer. Listen, men, we're going to answer for how we lead our families. We're going to answer for a life of faith or a lack thereof. We're going to answer to God for that and spend eternity in either heaven or hell based on a place of glory or a place of punishment based on how we live this life. It's coming suddenly. And those who have built their house, those who would build their houses near these wadis, this silt type of ground, this real soft ground, and in these areas, whenever these floods would come, it would destroy their homes. And the same is true for us. If your home is not built on the high ground of the rock, come on now. Deuteronomy 32 in the Song of Moses, man, his very last words to the people of Israel before he dies, he sings about the rock of our salvation. He is our fortress and our deliverer. And it's only when you build up on those rocky, strong hillsides, if you will, on the high ground of Jesus, the strength of his word and his character and his nature, it's only when you build there that the house will withstand the storms. Notice here, first of all, the storms are inevitable, aren't they? Are storms coming in your life? Yes. It's been said that we're all either coming from a storm, in a storm, or headed to a storm. You ever heard that before? That really is true. And that's life. Bad things happen even to good people. Difficult circumstances come. Cancer comes. Loss of a job comes. A wayward child. Those things happen at times even to good, godly people. Storms come. And those storms, he says here, pound against that house. Storms are inevitable. So how do you prepare for them? You've got to start with the right foundation. And that's a big idea here, right? Jesus is the only foundation. No one, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul said, no one can lay any foundation other than that which has been laid, and that's the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submission to Him, faith in Him, following His Word. Any other foundation is shaky ground and will collapse. And so we got to start with the right foundation. If your foundation is a problem, those of you in the room that have ever had foundation issues, you know how big a deal that is. Or a sinkhole open up, you know, around your home or near your home. I mean, when it's not built, that foundation is not solid. Man, it causes the ruin or can of the whole rest of the structure. That's the idea. It's got to be built on Jesus. But also, we've got to start with the right foundation, but we've also got to build with intentionality. If you've ever built a house, if you've ever built a house, you know how stringent, if you will, that process really is. In fact, in order to build a house, it really takes years, doesn't it? It doesn't just take 8 to 10 months. That's just the end of the process. It takes years and years and years of saving money and building equity into the current home that you have in order to pay down on property. And then you have to, you know, buy the property and get a contractor and get your construction loan and start the process. And for contractors in the room, where there are a lot of details to building a house, a lot of processes that you have to manage. Absolutely there are, aren't there? And so think about it. When he says here, build your house, that's not just a one-time decision. It's not just a flippant thing. It's not just one little season of life. He's talking about a pattern of consistent building upon Jesus and building into his church and building Christ into my home. So it's not just baptism, as important as that is, that's the first step of your new walk with Jesus. But that's just putting the foundation in the ground. And the whole rest of your walk with God now, it's the Spirit of God and the Scriptures and the saints of God speaking into your life and growth in Him and framing up that house, right? One 2x4 at a time, one truss at a time. And then once the frame is built, right, you go from there and you continue to add on to it. That's the idea here. Build with intentionality. We've got to build our home upon Christ and build Jesus into our homes. Prayer. Time as a family in the Word together. And men, listen to me. That can be a scary thing. We don't want to say that out loud, but like, well, how do I, you know, I'm not a preacher and I don't have a Bible degree. You know, how in the world do I do that? Friends, listen to me. There is a plethora of resources out there, devotional resources today. We live in a day and time where there are resources everywhere for you to use. Online, we provide stuff physically here to help guide you in a process, to dig into the Word for yourself, but also to give it to your family. The issue's not the right? The resources, the issue in us, if we got honest about it, it's the want to, isn't it? And it's getting over our own fear and our own distractions and all that stuff. God calls us to build Jesus into our homes. We've got to build with intentionality. And in our home right now, we're in the midst of teenagers and life, and so we're having a lot of discussions, right, about stuff. And I want to give you this morning, man, this is just fifth grade level stuff, practical stuff. Let me give you four must-have discussions in your home, okay? And this is in your program this morning. I encourage you to write this down. And dads, if you're with me, say amen this morning. Come on, dads. Listen, we are the last ones to want to talk about something. Now, we will exhort our kids on all kinds of stuff. other than sometimes the most important things. Sometimes we will speak to all this other stuff, but there may be some fear or trepidation or anxiety in having those serious conversations, and we kind of, you know, shift that over to mom. Well, men, listen to me. Here's four must-have discussions. I believe dads need to lead these conversations in the home. And mom and dad's voice are equally important in the home, but you get what I'm saying. I think dads need to lean into these four, okay? Here you go. Four must-have discussions. Number one, ministry. Ministry. Number two, marriage. Is that a big deal? I guess two of you believe that. Is that a big deal? Is marriage a big deal? Who your kid's going to marry? That's a big deal. Oh, I love the Hebrew idea, right? Arranged marriages. Come on, guys. Y'all laugh. That's what they did in Hebrew life. We're having that conversation in our home. Bless God. You know, I'm not arranging their marriages. Now get over it. Y'all are okay. But we are going to lean into it with intentionality, right? By the way, how in the world does an adolescent know how to make that decision without being counseled? I don't, we can't control our children, but friends, listen to it. We got to lean into that. You got to lean into that. So ministry, marriage, number three, money, right? Got to have the money conversation. Then number four, mission. Four M's. Dads, must have discussions. Ministry. So what about faith in Christ? And what about your walk with God? How do I do this? How do I spend time with God? How do I read my Bible? How do I pray? We got to lean into that. Dads, we got to lean into that. Some of you right now, you're like, oh my goodness, what in the world? I don't know what to tell them about that. Well, then get started yourself. You got to get started yourself. And by the way, God's going to hold you accountable to that. Right? He's going to hold us accountable to that. So we're going to answer for that. So you can't just sweep it under the proverbial rug and just like it's not a thing. It's a thing. Okay? And so I want to challenge us today. I want to exhort men today especially. Ministry. So what about faith in Christ and how do I spend time with God? Okay? Number two, marriage, dating and relationships. Have conversations. Share. Listen. Right? But we've got to lean into that. What does God's word say about being male and female, masculinity and femininity? What does the Bible say about marriage? One man, one woman for one lifetime. You got to sleep in the bed you made. And we shouldn't be bound to unbelievers. And so many of these things we speak into. Our kids have got to make decisions on their own. But we've got to lean into that. Okay? Thirdly, money. Is money a big deal? Is it a big deal? Yes, it is. Huge deal. So we've got to lean in with our kids. What does God's word say? First 10% needs to go straight to the church. You need to tithe and put God first. Right? So we lean in. We teach our kids that. And we talk about budgeting and saving and preparation and planning and how to take care of your bills and your family and those things. Right? So we got to lean into the money discussions. But then lastly, mission. Mission. We need to talk to our kids about what is your calling? What's your mission? What's the so what in your life? What's going to get you out of bed in the morning? By the way, there's some men in here today that you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. And that's real. I don't say that to attack anybody. That's real for some guys. What's your mission? Maybe the reason some dads this morning can't talk to our kids about that is because we've lost our sense of purpose. There are different seasons of vocation and life and all this stuff, but every season of life, God has a purpose and a plan for you in that, for His kingdom's sake. What's the mission? What's the calling? We're all called to be missionaries through our vocation and relationships around us, our circle of influence. So mission. Listen, we've got to build with intentionality. That's how you prepare for the storms. When we're not in the Word and we're not prayed up and we're not having some conversations just consistently along the way, if you wait till the car falls apart to try to maintain it, you're in a mess. The same idea. You got to build with intentionality, okay? But then thirdly and lastly this morning, how do you build your house on the rock? Thirdly, we've got to live in Christ's authority. Christ's authority. Sermon on the Mount finishes here in verse 29 by saying that the crowds, Matthew writes, the crowds were amazed at the authority with which Jesus spoke. In Hebrew, rabbinical life, it's what we call shmikah. Jesus had Shemichah. What does that mean? It means that he had a special authority that the Pharisees and the scribes did not have. The Pharisees and the scribes were referred to as teachers of the law, Torah teachers, teachers of the law. And they were basically only allowed to quote scriptures or commentary from other rabbis or other Pharisees, other teachers. Someone who had Shemichah was considered a person who had absolute knowledge of the entire Old Testament or the Hebrew scriptures. Torah teachers basically knew the law. What they were saying of Jesus is, man, he knows the law, the prophets, and the writings. This guy knows it all. And by the way, knowing it means he could quote entire chapters, verses, chapters, books of the Bible. Old Testament. Now, he's Son of God in the flesh, right? But in Hebrew life, historians tell us that there were no more than maybe a dozen rabbis that were considered to have this Shemichah authority within the 100 years leading up to Jesus' time in ministry. So you have that idea here, but also, friends, listen to me. How do you know today that God is powerful over all things? Come on now. He is. And in Jesus, listen, he told the disciples in the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. All authority is his. Because of the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection power, men, listen to me, today the chains of alcoholism can be broken in your life through Jesus. The chains of addiction, drug addiction, pornography addiction, this stuff can be broken in your life. You don't have to resign yourself to some kind of failure. There's authority here. There's power in Christ, in the name of Jesus. Man, by the name of Jesus, man, all the demons of hell have to flee. Man, the devil has to run from you and from your home when you pray in the name of Jesus and speak his name and plead his blood over your family. There's power over sin. There's power to give you purpose and a mission every day of your life. There's power to lead your home. He'll give you strength and knowledge and wisdom to know how to share God's word with your family and be a witness for Christ if you'll just step into it by faith. There's power there. There's power to lead. And every man, listen, every man is called to lead. Not every man has the gift of leadership per se. But every man is called to lead, to be a witness in his home and in his circle of influence. Through Jesus, listen to me, through Christ, you can do that. But we've got to step into it. Build your house on the rock. We have written, men, we can write a whole lot of books on a whole lot of stuff. What about the book of faith? What about a life of faith? That's the one that matters most. Are you building your house on the rock of Jesus? Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text Hope Jesus, all one word, text Hope Jesus to 77411. Hope Jesus, 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.